The scripture reading, if you want to follow along, I'm going to read it right out of the little pamphlet we have. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 31. This is the New King James Version. Hebrews 10, 26 to 31. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord," and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Mark number 78, part of the desert verse that we are talking about this morning.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. I first of all got to fix something so I have Riley, she takes care of my spelling, make sure I spell everything right. She catches me once in a while if I don't spell it correctly, so I want to make sure I get that in there. Is that better? Okay. All right, this morning, I'm going to talk on maturity. What is maturity? And we think of maturity as we're raising our children. We want them to grow and be mature, and we want them to be a plus for the society that they live in, that they're well-groomed citizens. They're a positive for the community. But we also want them to be mature as Christians. And we ourselves need to be mature as Christians. I got this lesson from a brother in Braden Church of Christ, or Brandon Church of Christ in Florida. I was talking to a preacher down there. He's a teacher at Florida Bible College, Brother Tommy Peeler. I don't know if any of you know him or not. But he's a teacher down there, and the reason I was talking with him is we was looking to support a preacher in Panama City, and Tommy Peeler was one of our references, and then there's another brother in Louisiana. Now I can't even remember his name now. I'd have to look at the letter. But I've talked to both of them, and then he also told me, he said, "Well, we have lessons on," so I went to their website, and a preacher by the name of Mackie Harding was there at one time, and he preached this sermon. So I thought it was a very good sermon, and so I went through it and added some things of my own, and, you know, because every time you get a sermon from someone else, you always try to make it your own sermon. That way you're not copying, or I feel like I'm not copying somebody else's sermon. But he got his from Ann Landers, and everyone knows who I'm talking about. They said a reader in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, asked her, "What is maturity?" And she gave 8 points. And he said, these 8 points, Mackie Harding, brother preacher, said these 8 points can go for spirituality, for the Christian. And it goes right along with it. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to ask ourselves, how mature are we? How far have we gotten? Or how far have we gotten in our spiritual life? Brother Jeff started a little bit a couple weeks ago on patience. And that's part of maturity, is being able to be patient in whatever we're in. And hopefully we're all working on that patience, because we all have that need to do that. We have trouble with that sometimes. But the New Testament teaches us that we are to grow. We're to grow spiritually, and we're not to stay stagnant. It's a continual growth. If you look over in the book of over in the book of Hebrews, the fifth chapter, and we'll see what the Apostle Paul talking to the Hebrews there, the Hebrew Christians, in chapter 5 and verse 12, and he kind of tells them some things that just a minute there, I had to get my iPad working correctly. Beginning in the 11th verse, and he's talking about the order of Melchizedek. He's talking about Melchizedek, who Christ was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And again, in the 11th verse, he says, concerning him, we have much to say concerning Melchizedek. And it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So he's explaining to them, I can tell you these things, but you won't understand them. Because you have not grown. You've even went backwards. And now someone needs to teach you the beginning principles, the basics. And as we was talking in our class this morning, we was talking about foundations. And Trace brought up that he has kids that are not able to handle the math that he is in now. So he has to go back to the basics and teach them and bring them back up. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Is we need to go back and teach you the basics now because you have not grown. And he says in verse 13, he says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. So in other words, the one that is only just taking the milk of the word is not growing. And we are to grow. As he goes on through it, he said the solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So he's saying, you as a Christian are to grow so you can discern what's right and wrong. So you're not tossed, as the apostle tells the Ephesians, you're not tossed to and fro for every thing that comes around. Every little philosophical idea, any idea that is different than what the gospel teaches, the foundation we're upon. So that's what maturity is. It's a growing. Do we ever get to that point where we're mature and need nothing else? No, we're not going to get that because you're going to starve your spiritual life. Your body's going to starve. But the first thing I brought up here that maturity is not revengeful. And you think of that revengeful. What is revengeful? And it's something that you're able to tolerate wrong that's been done to you without wanting to get evil. Or even, I mean, not evil, but even. Retaliation. You're not going to retaliate. You're going to forgive that brother. You're going to forgive that, even if it's not a brother, that one is outside the church. For what they've done wrong to you. You're not going to try, how am I going to get even with them? And you look over in Romans, the 12th chapter, and begin close to verse 21, or verse 14, you see that Paul, even talking to the Romans there, the Roman Christians there, what he expected of them. In the 12th chapter, down beginning verse about verse 14, we're not going to read all this. It says, Blessed do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. But as he's talking about this, how the Christian is to live. He goes on down to verse 17. He says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And he goes on down and talks about revenge. He said, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And then he goes down and explains, if you have an enemy, this is what you're going to need to do with that enemy. And we've talked about this several times from the pulpit. Many of us, and also in classes, he says, and just as Christ talked about in his Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount, it says, but if your enemy is hungry, do what? Feed them. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals or burning coals on his head. He says, do not overcome, but overcome evil. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So that's why I say, don't lash back out. Forgive them. And that's maturity. When you're not revengeful, when you're not figuring out a way how I can get back at them for what they've done to me. Or what they said about me. How they went and tried to tear down my life. How they tried to tear down my name. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm going to forgive them and go on. That's one of the hardest things to do. Someone that has done you wrong and continues to do you wrong, and you got to forgive them. That's hard to do. But a mature Christian does that. Also, a mature Christian has endurance. Look in James, the first chapter, in verse 2. James, the first chapter in verse 2. It says, consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith does what? Produces endurance or impatience, or produces patience. And let your endurance have its perfect result, or patience have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So what does a mature Christian do? They endure those things. You ask yourself, am I enduring these things? Am I patient with these things? And even the first part of that verse, too, says, consider it all joy. Why would you want to consider it joy? And like I said, we've talked about this before. Why would you think it's joyful? Because you're learning that you're going to be able to endure. It's something that's profiting you beyond your knowledge. It's going to be more, something that's going to be great. It's going to test your faith and see how strong you are. How well you can overcome these trials. And you got to remember what Paul told the Corinthians. He said, you're not going to be tempted above what you are able to handle. But with every temptation, I'm going to give you a way of escape. And he has done that. He has, his whole revealed New Testament is our way of escape. Every word he wrote down is a way to escape that temptation, not to be overcome by it. So what does the mature Christian do? They endure. Then the next one, persistence. You think about the word persistence or perseverance. It's someone, and you in your work, you probably have come across this, is when you're in the face of a project that needs to be done by a certain time, a certain deadline, under a certain budget. And if you are the leader of that, if you're the foreman, if you're a superintendent, and I'm doing this because I know construction, but it's also in other jobs, in IT jobs, there's deadlines that you have to make. Alan has to make deadlines in his work. There's deadlines you have to meet. Gene has to make deadlines. And everyone else that has jobs, there's probably deadlines that you have to meet. And if you don't meet those deadlines, you're held accountable for it. But it says the mature Christian, they're going to be able to handle those. They're going to be persistent. And you think of under the Christian life, things that we come in contact with, whether it be our friends, our family, the media, anything we come in contact with, and tries to overcome us. But we're persistent. We're persevering through. We're using God's word to help us get through everything that we have come under attack, if you consider attack of someone doing something to you. And God says, or Christ says, about what? About this, he says there in, or Paul says about in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter and verse 58. And a lot of you probably have this memorized. If I start it out, you'll probably remember it. It says, we must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing what? That your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You're always abounding. In other words, you're growing. You're becoming mature in the Word of God. You're able to handle it, as Paul told Timothy there in 2 Peter 2 chapter and verse 15. Did the study show yourself approved so you can rightly handle the Word of God? So you're going to be persistent. You know what you need to do. Yes, sometimes we become weak and we have a sin that kind of overtakes us once in a while, but we need to be persistent and get through that because we have the Lord on our side and His Word and His Son and His Spirit on our side. We may not think we have, but think about it for a little bit. Who else is going to help you to get through it? Well, your brothers and sisters should help, but sometimes they fail. But God never fails. He's there with you all the time. And He's what? Just a prayer away. So the Christian that is becoming mature is persistent in whatever occasion they find themselves in. The next thing I want to look at is contentment. And this one's hard for the American people. And we are the American people. Yes, we're Christians, but we get caught up in the American way. David Ramsey tells you what the American way is: debt-free. And that's the American way. But what is the Christian way? Debt-free, out of no burdens upon ourselves. We've ridden ourselves of all those burdens. We're content with what we have. We're content to believe that the hope that we have is that eternal life. Look over in Philippians, the second chapter. Well, not second chapter, but the fourth chapter. Paul talks about being content and what that contentment is. There in the fourth chapter. My iPad is kind of slow today. Beginning about the 11th verse, God provides for us. And we look at verse 11. It says, "Now I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with the humble means, and also know how how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." So listen to the Apostle Paul. Go back and study the history of the Apostle Paul, what he went through, what he gave up to be a Christian, to follow after Christ. He was Pharisee of the Pharisees. He studied under the foot, or at the foot of Gamaliel. So he's very high up in the Jewish hierarchy, if you would call it, or Sanhedrin. But he gave all that up. He says, "I've learned how to be content with what I'm, the condition that I'm in, whatever I'm found in, whether it be poor, whether it be like he went through shipwrecks, whether it be in abundance. I've found to be content." So he's telling the Christian, the mature Christian that is striving for maturity, be content with what you have. Be content with the circumstances you're in. Because why? He says, "Because I can do all things through Christ, through Him who strengthens me." And as you see, as we go through here, there is a thread that brings all these things together. And that's Christ. Because He exemplified all these things that's written down here. But the ninth, I haven't put the ninth one down. That'll be at the end. But as we see, we are to be content. And then you go to the fifth one, humility. Being humble. Being saying, "You know what? You were right. I was wrong. Can you forgive me of that?" How hard is that to do? It takes a mature person to be able to say, "I was wrong." And I think even more so a mature person that says to another person, "I told you so. I was right. I told you so." That's not being humble. That's saying, "Hey, I'm up here, you're down there, and I told you what you was doing was wrong." And taking joy in it, then I'm the winner, basically. That's not a mature Christian. A mature Christian is one that humbles himself with God and with fellow Christians. And able to say, "I'm wrong. I should have not said that. I should have not done that. Will you forgive me?" An even more mature Christian, and it's not part of it, is the one that says, "I forgive you." Going on to the sixth one, commitment. But going back, I should go back to the other one and give you some verses. You can go to James, the fourth chapter, verse 10. We won't read, but you should look at it. And then also Philippians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 8, tells you how humble Christ was, what He gave up. He gave up His heavenly abode. But going on to the sixth one, commitment. What is commitment? You go back to the seven churches of Asia. It's written to them. They were committed. Most of them. Some of them, a couple of them were committed to the point where there was nothing found wrong with them. But the mature Christian realizes, I made a covenant with the Lord to be on His side. From the time that I was buried in that watery grave and brought up, I committed to the Lord. Am I still committed? Am I as committed as I was when I obeyed the gospel? Commitment. One that is dependable. As you think about that, we make commitments all the time. A mature person keeps that commitment, keeps his word. Years ago, what was it saying? And it's still a saying now, but it's not. You have to have contracts and everything else now. A man's word is his what? Right. A man's word. And that goes along with the next one I've got there on verse 7, dependable. A man's word is what he has. Is his. I forgot the word now. I went blank again. What's that? Bond. My grandpa always told me, he said, you always have one thing that you'll never lose unless you don't keep your word, and that's your name. You keep your word, your name will always be good. That's one thing you have that you can lose. But a mature Christian is dependable. And dependable on what? They see a brother or sister in need. They not only say, go and be filled, but they do actually do something. They see a brother or sister, as Paul told to the Galatians, a weak brother slipping. They contact them to help them. They look for something to bring that weak one back. Look there in Galatians, the 6th chapter, in verse 1. And you'll see what I'm talking about as far as the stronger member, what our responsibilities are. It says in verse 1, brethren, even if any is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of what? Gentleness. Each one look into yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. And it says, what? Bear one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. That's dependable. That's us looking out for each other, having each other's back, just as Christ has ours. And living in peace. Another thing that's hard for Americans to do is live in peace. Because nowadays there's so much going on, so much drama and stuff going on, there's no peace. But we need to search for that peace that what? Surpasses all understanding. And a Christian can have that. The mature Christian can have that peace and can live in that peace, knowing that the goal that they are looking forward will be given at the end time, at the end of their lives. They will reach that goal. They will have reached that goal. Another part of that peace is understanding we can't change things that cannot be changed. But if there's things that can be changed, we strive to change them. We strive to change them. We don't fret the little stuff. But we're at peace. And we live a peaceful life. And we're at peace with all men that we can come in contact with. So thinking about these things, as we go through these and end up the lesson, ask yourself, am I becoming mature in these things? Am I growing in these things? And the last one I want to look at for the lesson is yours. It's in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, our scripture reading. And you probably wonder why he used that as a scripture reading. It probably don't have nothing to do with what he's talking about. Beginning in verse 31. Now let's go back up to verse 26. It says, for if we go on sinning willfully. What does this sinning willfully mean? Is it a sin that's ignorant that we don't know about? What's willfully? Willfully is something we know is wrong, but we continue to do it. What does he say about that sin? It could be any sin that we're doing and we know we're not right in doing. Or it's something we should be doing that we're not doing. For him to know to do right and doeth not is what? Sin. He says, for if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. So if we know we're sinning willfully, and we have the knowledge of the truth, we know what the truth is, but we continue to do it anyway, what is there? He said, there's no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. So what does the mature Christian do? Repents when he finds himself in sin. When he finds that he is sinning and what he's doing is not right, he repents. He confesses that sin. Whether he confesses that sin to God because it's a sin between him and God, or if it's a public sin, he confesses it before man. I have sinned. I want to repent of that. I am repenting of that. That's a mature Christian that knows he's sinned and he confesses, I've sinned. I've fallen short of the glory of God. So this afternoon or this evening, or not this evening, this afternoon, check this out. Write these things down and go home and study them and ask yourself, am I mature? Am I striving for maturity? Or do I need to do some work? Well, your answer will probably be, I need to do some work. Because I think we all need to do some work. We all fall short of all these or some of these. I know this morning the lesson has been to obey in the gospel. But that is always an invitation for those who have not obeyed the gospel. God's there with his arms open. Christ is there with his arms open for you to obey the gospel. But he's also open for those who have stepped away, have gone back to the world, worldly things. But he said, here, come confess your sins before me, and I will forgive them. So if you're subject for the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?